Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 37 of Comic Book Nation. How is everybody? Of course, I am not Kofi Outlaw. Once again, he's enjoying some time away, so we will be holding down the fort here. But I think we got it. I think we can handle this. We good.
We have some special guests, so
yes, exactly. We got some reinforcements to bring things in. But first, of course, I am joined by our wonderful co-host Janelle.
Hello, everyone. Really happy to be here.
And I believe so, right? This is the Comic Book Nation debut, is it not? Of yes. Nick Valdez.
Yes. Oh, howdy, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Look at that background.
I've always wanted to say this. Long-time listener, first-time caller. So, you know, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you
for having me. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, man. Awesome. Well, yeah, so we have a absolutely massive show. We have so much to get to. Of course, we're going to be talking about comics because you know it's us. We're going to be talking about we've got Nick here, so I actually get to geek out about Power Rangers. Oh my gosh, shove that in here! You damn straight I did. We're also going to be talking about reviews for Why the Last Man, Malignant, recap on Titans, What If, all that. So we got lots to talk about. But first, I am very excited to welcome the writer of Harley Quinn, the animated series, the Eat, Bang, Kill Tour number one, T. Franklin is with us. How are you?
Hey, what it do? What it do?
Let's go.
Oh, my God. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Listen, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for reading my tweet. I'm like, oh, let's do it.
Yes. Yeah, as everyone on this show
sometimes
knows,
the internet's good.
Yeah, you know? Right. It has its moments. It has its moments. I'm always down to talk comics. We love comics here, and yeah, we actually have big Harley Quinn fans, so it was like the perfect thing. So yeah, let's get started. You know, just on kind of a broad sense, because this, of course, ties into the animated series. You know, what do you feel that show gets so right about Harley, and what did you kind of enjoy about being able to explore that here in the series?
Everything.
For real. Like,
I mean, watching Harley finally dump the Joker, kicking his ass, hitting him with a bat to the bull. Like, yo, let's go.
Finally.
He deserved every. I get why she didn't kill him. But if I was Harley in that moment, I'd have been like, bye. You got to go. But I loved everything about it. There was some stuff that was like, I don't know. But I really, I watched this show before I even knew that this was my journey. I was already a fan, right? Like, I watched the show like 4 or 5 times because it was so good. And then we're in a pandemic and I couldn't even go anywhere. So I was like,
yeah,
that was my comfort, right? So I watched the show over and over and over again. And when we finally got season 2 and the kids happened,
along with like the entire internet, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remembered screaming. I think I did a little video on IG. I was like, oh my God, let's make it. Like, I was over the moon. Listen, I want to stop real quick because I just want to let everybody know that I am autistic. So if you do see me start stimming and flailing my arms around or doing anything, it is normal. And that's me. And that's who I am. Oh, so God. I just wanted to
drop
that in real quick.
I also do that, but I'm just very animated. So we can do it together.
It was really such a dope show. Like, all around, we had disability representation with Psy and with Dr. Psycho. We had everything was amazing. Shout out to Justin and Patrick and Dean and the writers and Kaylee and Lake and everybody involved, cast, crew, everybody involved with the show. Y'all did the damn thing and they won an award. So that's amazing.
Right.
And now you're part of this too. It's amazing. Yes. Oh, that's so awesome. I'm really excited that you're here. My question for you is, and this is going to be great because we just touched on it. What element of Harley and Ivy's friendship / relationship, because we kind of got to see both, was most important for you to explore? And is there anything you wanted to steer clear of or kind of stay away from?
Oh my goodness, loaded question. Okay.
I know, so, I'm sorry. Hi.
I really wanted to, like, there's, we got a happy ending-ish, right, on the show. We got to see Harley's journey of leaving him, betraying Ivy, getting her heart crushed by Ivy, who was like, you're a little too much, sis. I love you as a friend, but I'm going to go be with my man, right? So we had all these things, but it's not going to be rainbows and butterflies and kittens. Like, no relationship is like that. So I wanted to explore what the underneath, the line, because they all, everybody in that show got some type of trauma, right? Everybody got some type of trauma. And that trauma doesn't go away just because you're in a relationship. It's there.
Yep.
And at times it will rear its head without any control of yours. Like, it'll just come out. So I really wanted to show that these two women, although they love each other and they're in this really dope relationship, that they both got some shit and they both,
we're PG-13 here, so yeah, we do.
This comic book is not for kids at all.
Spoilers.
But I definitely wanted to show that, you know, they've got some trauma and they really need to deal with that. And I did get to do that. As far as what I wanted to steer clear from, ableism. I'm disabled, you know, besides being autistic, I have a heart condition and I've had multiple surgeries on my back. I'm a wheelchair user, right? So when people say things like lame, that means somebody who can't walk, right? When people constantly use the word crazy, that's somebody with mental health issues. And we need to be mindful of the things that we say because it hurts. It hurts people. And I know Harley... Crazy and Harley
hand in hand,
right?
Right.
But in my series, this series I'm writing, we ain't got none of those words. I'm not
doing it. I love that. I love
that. Because I'm representing not just for Black folks, for queer folks, for disabled folks, for autistic folks. And I want to make sure I come correct, right? I want to make sure everybody can see themselves on the cover, on the pages, and I don't want somebody to read and be like, oh, you're so crazy, Harley. I don't want that. I don't want that.
And you don't even notice that. Like, you can make a beautiful work of art without including those things. Like, I did not even catch that. Yeah, you did a great job of that. That's really, really strong.
I'm very adamant about not using those words because they are so harmful and they have such a loaded, complicated history. And I just did not want to add to it, not on this run. Like, it just, you can tell a story without using ableist words. You really can. It's not hard. And I mean, shoot, I did it for Harley. If I could do it for Harley, y'all could do it for any other thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, for real. Absolutely. You know, you mentioned, right, it's the layers. It's kind of the underneath. And that those are some of the my favorite scenes in the book. It's just like when Ivy has to take a minute. It's just like it's fine. We're okay. We're okay. It's not played for drama. It's not played for just, you know, it feels real. It feels organic because these people are coming in with baggage and things to deal with. So it felt a lot. It was very human. And so that's what I really loved about this. But also too, Max's artwork is just stunning. it's such a perfect fit for the story, and also the fun too, because there are, you know, a lot of fun moments in between. You know, were there any moments, because I'm always interested in the process, you know, were there any moments you write a script, of course, and then it's like, you know, here, have the artist interpret it. Were there any moments where Max just took things in a completely different way and you were like, oh my Lord?
Everything. Like, Max is a beast. Max Sarin is a beast. Every time I get a page, I'm like, bro, I didn't even see it that way, right? Like, I see it one way when I'm writing it, but what Max did was like, just what?
Yeah.
Like, every freaking Max's facial expressions needs to win an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, everything.
Oh my God.
Everything. Because the acting is just, it's a mind-blowing what Max has done on those pages. It's, I mean, did y'all see Gordon? Like, yeah. I thought you were gonna bust the blood vessel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's art. It's magnificent. Yeah, love it.
Max is amazing. Max, Marissa's colors. Yep, those colors. It was like Marissa just sucked the colors out of the animated and just turned it up even more. Like, it, this whole, now this is my first superhero comic, my first big, I've got Image books, but this is so right? It's so cool. It's so different. And I'm just, every time I get a page, I'm like, you, okay. Okay, like, I'm pinching myself because I'm like, this can't be real. And it's so gorgeous. And Taylor's letters, shout out to Taylor. He's from Jersey. I'm from Jersey. Hey, Jersey. Like, it's so cool to see everybody's work. Like, the team is just, shout out to my editor, Katie Kubert. Like, yo, this it's dope. Everybody has brought their innovation. I know y'all seen them variants, God.
Yeah. So those variants rule.
I think there's 13 of them. Like, what?
Wow. Yeah. 13. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
They are amazing. Shout out to everybody who was working on these variant covers. Like, I am just.
Yeah, they brought their A game for sure.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay. So let's slide into another question, because this one I'm really eager about. What can you tease about issue 2? Because I know that we are headed to Catwoman's hideout. And is there anything specifically we should be looking for, or any kind of teaser that you have ready for us?
Okay. So we do go, she drops the kitties off at Selena's, and there's kitty talk. There's a lot of kitty talk, and we're here to save the kitties. And Harley and Ivy are very sympathetic to Selena's wants and needs.
Oh, good.
Ooh. Oh, interesting. That's such a big cliffhanger now. Like,
I'm going to make up so many scenarios in my mind. I already know I'm in trouble.
Well, and anytime those characters get together, you know, it's wonderful. So yeah, that once I saw that that was where we were headed next, I got a little excited. Yes. Like, and then of course you see the covers, and I know from the solicits that hit that Vixen is going to be in the series. Now I know that's a favorite of yours. So, you know, how did that, was that a pitch? Was that something you pitched? Was that something that kind of came to you with? And, you know, what can we kind of expect? What was it? Was it kind of cool to just have a favorite in the series?
From the gate, when I pitched, I was like, I'm going to just slide her in. Wait to see if they slide her back out. Well, she's still in there. Yes. She is still in there. I have been sitting on Vixen, this Vixen issue since January. And I love Vixen. And it was torture. Like, y'all, I was like, I mean, I could keep a secret, but this is like, this is Vixen. But I ain't want the black van to come and take me. So I was just like, all right, I'm just chill. I'm not going to say anything. But when I saw that today, I was like, yeah, let's go. Guess what? I wrote Vixen. Let's go. Like, I have been speaking this into existence for like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Oh, man.
And it finally happened. So I am still like, I woke up, logged on, and they're like, Vixen. I'm like, oh, it came out. Yeah. So I was like, wait, I got so caught up that I was almost late coming here because I was just so happy about Vixen. I am over the moon. Vixen is an important character in this series. And what can I say?
Can you tease anything about their interactions, like with Harley and Ivy?
I can say it's not. It's funny though, that reaction says it all.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't even need to follow it up.
I wish this came out in the podcast form because that's going to be hard to like, oh, that's a tease. It's an even bigger tease than what's coming in issue 2. I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Oh my God. Then you see the cover for issue 5 came out and Harley and Ivy are at a strip club.
Let's go.
Little twerk going on. And there is on the cover a stripper with vitiligo. So again, it is so important to have these. We exist. Disabled people exist. People with facial. There's somebody with facial differences in an issue that's coming up. Like, it is so important to have not just the conversations, but to actually see it. So I'm like hyped, even though I'm really, really hyped for issue 4, but I'm really, really hyped for issue 5 because we have a vitiligo stripper. Like, what?
That's amazing.
I said, BC, let me go to a strip club.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that for people coming from the animated series, it really carries that same approach, that tone. Like, it's a perfect compliment, and more so than I was expecting, actually, because I even thought, like, well, maybe they might, you know, have, like, they might try and rein it in. It's like, nope, like, it's wonderful. That's how you want it coming from that show. Now, I know we – go ahead.
I mean, with the title of Eat, Bang, Kill, like, I got to have the eating, the banging, and the –
killing a body part. It's all like, part of it, man. It's a trio.
Okay. I mean, she did cartwheel on the coochie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to, like, look, I don't know if DC ever give me a boogie because they're like, oh, Lord, this girl too much. But I figure, let me go and sway for the fence. Let me grab the whip. Let's go.
Hey, man.
I feel like that's the way to go. Yeah.
If you get one chance, Do it all out. Don't hold anything back. Because that's how we end up with shows that, you know, don't have finales and stuff. It's like, because they held back. Like, no.
They held back. I'm not holding back anything. There is a new character on the cover of issue 5. There is a brand new villain character that Max and I created. And I'm really, really hyped about that. The cover is really gross, even though we're at the strip club. But it's a really gross, oozy cover. And I'm really, I can't wait to for y'all to see. I mean, the cover is dope, but these pages are like, not like like this character is nasty. Like, he a gross character. He smell.
Oh my gosh, so many visuals from that description.
I mean, the cover alone
creates a vivid picture.
You
now,
can tell by the cover.
Oh, I'm so excited. So issue 4 is Vixen? And issue 5 is new villain?
Issue 5 is new villain on the cover.
Okay. And issue 4 is, oh man. And then issue 2 is Catwoman. Oh my God, this is great. Catwoman.
Issue 3, they go on their first date.
Boo things.
Mm-hmm. Got a little Lady in a Tramp. Spaghetti action on the cover.
Oh,
yes.
This is going to be fun. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
It is. I really, really hope, like, I know everybody wants season 3, myself included, but I hope that this ties people over and they could just have fun and enjoy it. It's not going to be exactly like the show, but it's a bridge to it. And I don't know, maybe I know nothing about the show, but who knows? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe somebody will pop up or maybe some, I don't know. I just want to see
maybe
Harley.
Maybe you'll see her.
Carry, this is what I'm saying. I want to see Harley carrying Ivy up the escalator. That's really all I want.
Now, before we get to our last question, because I know we have to let you go, but this has been amazing. This is canon, right? Like, it's official. Like, it exists in the universe of the show, right? Or no?
I don't really. That would be a question for Justin and Patrick and Dean. I'm not sure. I know it's a bridge to the show, but I can't speak on that.
Okay. No, it's good to know. No, it's good to know. Absolutely. But I mean, honestly, if they were to just roll with it, it would fit right in. Like, it really is a wonderful bridge to the series, especially for people who haven't watched the series. And by the way, if you haven't watched the series, go watch the series.
What are you doing?
Go do that now. It's on HBO Max now. You have no excuse. Go do that now. You know, so what is next? Because you mentioned we've got a couple more issues of the series coming up. But what's next for T? Where can fans find your work?
Okay, so what's next? I do have a short in the Tis the Season to be Freezing, a DC anthology coming out in December, I believe. December, something like that. So that's really cool. I get to work with Yancey LaBlotte on the, he does Superhero Girls. So I'm really, really excited about that.
Oh my gosh.
It's a cool, fun story. But I'm also branching into TV. I am officially a TV writer. So,
nice.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
I can't say what I'm working on, but I've got a few things cooking in a pot, and hopefully DC will be like, let me add some stuff to it. I don't know, but I'm free, y'all.
Busy, but free.
Yes.
You sound very busy.
I will make room.
Well, I am hyped for that special because I am all about anything that takes place in like December or like season like that, like the winter season or anything. I'm game for. I also love DC Superhero Girls rules. So very excited for that project and cannot wait to find out what the TV one is. So whenever you want to make that and let us know.
Oh, trust me. Y'all gonna be like, oh, snap, you doing it? Oh my gosh. I can't speak on it no more because that Black Van be circling and I ain't got no time to be kidding.
Well, we are not here to get you in trouble. But
no, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining the show. Seriously, if you haven't read the issue yet, it's in stores now. Go check it out. It's also on digital as well. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you. Thank
such
you.
Such a pleasure.
thank you to everybody. My Twitter, Miss T Franklin. You can find me there. I want to shout out to all my followers and a special shout out. Happy birthday to Sean Pryor. He is my big brother and I'm so happy. He's an awesome comic creator. And I just wanted to say I love him to everybody.
Oh my gosh.
But thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Of course.
I'm here, baby.
Come back anytime, please. It was such a pleasure getting to know you. My gosh. And thanks for the chat. Even you guys, before we even started the interview, she was just so freaking fun to chat with. Like, we talked about her amazing tattoo. Like, you've got to follow her. You've got to check out her work. Like, she just awesome. So nice meeting you.
Thank you all. Y'all have a blessed day and be safe. Stay masked up, everybody.
Mask up. Let's go.
All right, Tommy. Well,
thank you so much. Well, that was awesome, man. I love you. We should start out the show more of a comics.
That is the most fat comment ever. And
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there.
Here to like to go against it.
He's somewhere. Like, no, we are not. The show's already enough of Matt's agenda. We're not doing it. All right. So that was awesome. We will, of course, get to the other comics because we have two more issues to tackle. We will get to those later in the show.
Yeah, let's talk this horror film.
Oh god, I know. Jenna. Okay, so
quote unquote, right? Quote unquote horror.
Quote unquote. So when we this first came up as a topic, because Kofi was like of course, like we got to talk Malignant, right? Janelle's reaction. I forget exactly what you said, but you were like, "Oh no, do I have to watch this?" You're so like not on board.
I do not like scary stuff. I won't sleep, and I'm like not at home. Like I know that I'm in a lot of trouble if I have to watch. I have to like mentally prepare myself and set time aside like in the morning so I can recover all day long before I go to sleep at night.
Yeah, I understand. I can't remember what horror movie it was, but there was one that we had to watch for the show, and I watched it, and I made the mistake of watching it at like 11 o'clock at night. Like it was like, oh, I'll just knock this out. And then I was so, I mean, I'm legit. I had nightmares. Like I was like, it was in my dreams. I was like, oh my God. I was like thinking of monsters. It just, yeah, it screwed me up. I don't do that anymore. Now it's like, I did the same thing, do the morning and we'll go from there. So Malignant. Now we are going to talk spoilers. How do you go to sleep listening to creepypastas and stuff like gets in my brain? I have to listen to like a sports podcast or like a gaming podcast. Like I can't do it. So we have to talk about spoilers though, if we're going to talk Malignant, because I feel like there's no way to not address that. That's the biggest point that everyone's talking about in this. So again, spoilers coming for Malignant. I know everyone talks about it. Okay, we'll just go from general opinions because I know Janelle's not about it. Nick, did you have a chance to watch it or no?
Yes. Okay, so is this a prank? Like, is this James Wan, like, getting the Aquaman checks? You know, I don't know how these things work. You would know more than I do, right? But is this a prank? Like, is this, like, what he's been trying? I know it's his pet project, but, like, is this a prank? Is this intentional the way it is? Like, how much is intentional? How much is unintentional? Because, like we've all seen it. So I don't know. What did everybody else think of it?
Okay. So
I was going to say, kid said, I didn't think it was that scary. Felt more like action thriller, to be honest. So that actually makes me feel like I might be able to handle it.
So in the third act, especially, it changes because the twist changes things, which we'll get into in a minute. The twist changes things. And so then, the last portion of the movie is very much a different feel from especially like the first 30 minutes. The first part of the movie, okay, I will admit this. If you're going for the B movie feel, you know, that classic, like you just want to evoke that sensibility of just like, you know, the over the topness of the characters, the making stupid choices, the like, you know, the very Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, hey, let's run into the room with like a bunch of chains and stuff, like let's not, like that kind of stupidity. this movie leans into that at the beginning. It has that feel. It has that that tone. Some people are arguing that it's not purposeful. I don't know. With Juan being such a whore, like, I mean, that's, yes, we know him obviously for Aquaman, but like mm-hmm. some of his biggest stuff and a lot of his stuff has been horror leaning. So I don't know. I don't feel like he's someone that would miss that unless it's intentional. Like, I feel like if that's that way, he probably meant for it to be that way. Whether or not it's good is a completely different argument, yeah. which I will not say it's good. I'm just saying that I don't think it was a mistake. I don't think it was just him like being lazy on the job. I think it was he went for a tone and maybe the execution wasn't the best. But I tend to like stuff that kind of leans into that. I think of like Cabin in the Woods. Like, I love that movie, right? But I feel like that movie's executed better in the Ryan. Way it lays its camp and cheese and stuff. All right, let's get to the twist. Here's the yeah. thing. Here's the thing. The twist, if I was just grading the twist, A.
So Jim says the twist is so fun.
It is, because okay, so like in the trailers, of course, they've been teasing that, like, you know, the imaginary friend comes back and stuff like that, right? And then you're kind of mm-hmm. watching and they're laying a bunch of stuff. Now half of it's stuff you don't care about, but they're laying a bunch of tiles and stuff. But then you get to the thing of being like that it was essentially, what's the best way to describe this?
It's the conjoined twin that she had absorbed in the womb.
Yes.
That grew out of her back, had full sentience, could yes. like absorb electricity, speak through the radio, also had like arms, and then yes. they operated to remove the sibling.
The malignant.
Malignant
tumor, yeah. right? Tumor. That's what they're going for.
They did that and then pushed it back into her skull, like the remaining part of the twin.
Yeah, that was gross.
Yeah. And so this twin, years later, after some very unfortunate things happen that I don't really want to get into, it takes over her body and eventually gets revenge on the doctors that originally tried to take it out. So that's the whole thing. And then, you know, what like last like 30 minutes of it, really.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of when it becomes more of like an action-y, gory
yes.
thriller thing. But okay. One, the visual is creepy. I hate, like, Grudge is another one. Okay. Mm-hmm. When people come out of people, it's weird. I don't like it. It disturbs me. Okay, like when, like, not in like any other way other than like a way that's supposed to happen. Okay, like when like people move their hair back and like there's an eye there, so that it freaks me out. I hate that stuff. Right. So this was very much like that. But the concept of the dormant, you know, person and the twin, like, feeling all this anger and that, and like trying to kind of having influence and being sentient because it was always all that. And the reason why, by the way, is also a thing, because the reason why the twin wakes up is because she's being abused. So that is actually the triggering moment that wakes the twin up, because the twin has been dormant this entire time, aside from like early on. So like that, like all that stuff is like, it's just what, but in a good way. I was right. like in, and then when, you know, it's like, oh, but there's hands and now I have powers, and like yeah, some of that stuff is when it goes off the rails.
But the problem I have with it is that it takes an hour to get there.
Right.
Like there's, you know, it starts off eccentric, ends wildly. But there's like an entire like hour, 15 minutes of like an actual like a movie, I guess. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like the whole time I'm like, what is going on? You know, because it's set up to be like this murder mystery monster supernatural thing. Right. And then the veil gets pulled. But there's a whole other movie in here.
Right.
It's just hard to sit through. You know,
yeah.
It's ultimately like, how much do you like the stuff at the end and in the beginning to sit through it? You know?
Right. Yeah. It really comes down to, is the twist worth it?
Yeah.
I will say I would just Google it.
So I feel like I got it from listening to you guys.
Right.
You did.
Like, I would Google it. It's honestly, it's more interesting to read about. And like, I am fascinated to see, I am fascinated to like hear like Juan's like what inspired it. And, you know, like when he can get into like the nitty gritty, now that it's out, he can actually get into spoiler commentary and stuff. Cause they kept this so guarded, barely did any press because of that. But like, now that it's out, I'm more interested to hear about all of that stuff, like the behind the scenes stuff and what led to this.
I need to know if it was a prank. That's my thing.
I don't think it was. I'm going to go out of limb.
Because it's a whole movie that he had to make, like that he had to make with screenwriters and people.
No one's going to invest in a prank. Yeah.
But you never know. That's the thing. Like I need to know.
Hey, we did get that Fantastic Four movie. Heyo. There you go.
So bottom line, you don't have to see it. But if it's in your wheelhouse, like definitely check it out.
Yes, because you might end up really liking it. I would personally go back and just watch Dead Silence because I heard someone compared to that, like his early stuff. And then I went, oh, man, I remember that movie. I love that movie because it was so ridiculous and over the top. And I remember that movie.
Yeah. If you want like a wild movie about a twin that gets revenge, a conjoined twin that gets revenge, that Chicano kid actually points it out in our comments, Basket Case. That one has also the same idea of a conjoined twin being forcibly separated, but years later coming to get revenge with the... Yeah, so if you want goofy horror, then check that one out. You know, because we're basically in like a Quado Total Recall situation.
Quado. Okay. Oh my god! All right, so we are prepped. Before we get into the next thing, because I definitely have thoughts on that. Let's take a break and pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we are back. Okay, so if people follow me on Twitter, they know I was talking about a mystery show. I was saying I just watched the like, I forget how exactly I phrased
it. I was one of those people. I'm like, wait, what show is it?
Yes. So, and I left it vague because I didn't want to like, I was saving it for this. So that leads me to our segue into Why the Last Man on FX. I didn't respond purposefully. It wasn't like I was ignoring, but I was like, oh no, I gotta save it for the thing. All right, so Why the Last Man on FX, of course, is based on the, I will say, classic, you could say modern classic series by Brian K. Vaughan. And it's been in development for what seems like forever. And it's one of also the shows that, like, because of the premise, you're like, man, how did this not get made sooner? Especially with, like, The Walking Dead being around for so long. And, you know, that jump has already been made with concepts like this, especially kind of, this isn't even all the way post-apocalyptic, but you know what I mean. So,
yeah,
now we're here. We finally have it. We're up to episode 4. And so my comment was specifically the first episode, mm-hmm. which it's kind of like, look, if a show needs to at least make a first impression on you, even if it doesn't get really good until later, it still needs to like hook you and capture you, whatever. I don't know how many times I looked at the timer, like the bar that pops up at the bottom, you know, and shows you how much time you have left. I looked at that thing 5 or 6 times. And every time I looked at it, it felt like the timer got longer. I looked at it and went, how are there 30 minutes still left? Like, no way. The last 20 minutes lasted 4 days. I kid you not. It was so long. It was so boring. How do you make this premise boring? I mean, for those who don't know, the premise is essentially that something, and it's part of the mystery, obviously, of the story, mystery virus or something affects all of the men in the world, and they all like just die at the same time on the same day.
Everything with a Y chromosome. So yes, like right. Animals, yes. People, yeah.
And so when all of them die, there's only one person with a Y chromosome remaining. And so that is the person we follow. And they have a little monkey who's amazing. Monkey's great. Mm-hmm. And then you see the world kind of what happens after, because it's the first episode really kind of dives into like the couple days before the event, they like the day after, and then the moment of. But they tease the moment like the entire episode, like the moment finally hits at the end, which you kind of almost expect, and they tease little things, right, of that it's that something's happening and something's coming. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Okay, I'm more curious to see what Janelle and Nick thought, because for me, I could go on this all day. Like I have issues with just how this is laid out and stuff. But what did you guys think before I go too long?
Nick, you can go first.
Oh, I feel bad because like I would like to come back, but here comes another negative thing. I completely agree. I made it through 2 episodes before I decided to not continue. There's a lot of complicated feelings because like when I first read the series years ago, I have a more nuanced opinion of gender and mm-hmm. identity and, you know, all of this stuff that goes along with it. So, you know, already the premise seems a little outdated, you know, already because there's a lot of, things in it, but, I'm also tired of shows about like a certain kind of character as the lead in the center of it all, but it also has Diane Lane. So I want to keep watching this for her, and those final minutes of the pilot were great. So I'm too conflicted to keep going after 2 episodes. I think that's all it is. Like it's way too much to watch to like sit through something I'm not all completely into.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, I chose to watch all of the episodes that were out instead of Malignant. Okay. So I made a decision. I was like, I have Titans. I have What If. I'm literally on vacation at a hotel and I have to watch 3 hours of this new show Titans and What If.
I'm so sorry.
And I will say that Titans was Kofi. The only thing that saved it for me. But, but I don't hate this. If I was sitting in my home and it was another work day and I had to add it to my like timetable of like, okay, I got to get this done for the podcast. I got to watch this. I actually enjoyed the show. I was rushed. I was definitely rushed because I'm literally like brushing my teeth, trying to watch it on my phone and like trying to like put on my clothes to go out for the day. Like, but I was actually very intrigued. I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. I'm a huge post-apocalypse apocalyptic anything. I love like the breakdown of the system, you know, the Matrix, anything that disrupts the flow of what's, you know, happening in the world. And so I am very empathetic. So I throw myself into like the women in this show and like what I would feel had I would lose my dad and my fiance. And like every man, I'm kind of like a guy's girl. I hang out with a lot of dudes. And and I was like, I was literally like, I felt like tension in my chest. Like when that moment hit, like, I was like, oh my God, like this is a complete nightmare. What this show did for me is go, okay, I got to read these. I got to check out these comics because the show did a okay job. The only thing that really bugged me was our lead character obsessing on his stupid, small, insignificant fiance who didn't even want him.
Yep.
When he can literally be the key to saving the world. That's so ridiculous to me. I don't think anyone, no matter how spoiled brat you are, no matter how much you want to be a magic teacher and not like get a corporate job, like no matter what, in this moment, you would think that his number one priority when this happens is to get to his president mom to help save the planet. And not go searching for his fiance, because she rejected him. That is not believable to me in the slightest.
That's
the only thing that bugged me, but the premise is so, so sick that I have to keep going because I want to understand where this goes. And because I don't have that comic background, I am so intrigued. Like I have to know, like where is this going? Why is it like this? Who is this agent taking care of him? Is she good? Is she bad? Like I need to know all these things. And so I'm definitely going to go read the comics.
Yeah.
Keep watching the show, but I'm going to read the comics.
So number one, yes, Bri would go off. That is Janelle's. Yeah. That ruled. That's also why, look, that's why we love the show too, is because we come from different angles on this, and it's cool. Look, I'm not gonna lie, your enthusiasm for the show almost made me want to like keep going. I'm in Nick's camp. I don't know. I'm kind of like
disturbing, look, though. Like they did a great job with their like how it looked, like the bleeding, like the dying, like all of that was.
So, like, that's the thing about the first episode, though, is that because I agree with you. I think. And this goes throughout the four episodes. Well, two things. One, and this was kind of something that Nick mentioned. What I do like about and appreciate about the show is that because it's been a while since that initial series was written, our views on gender norms and things like that have changed. They have evolved. And the show does approach with that, like it does try and like really embrace.
I'm so glad they touched on the transgender and the hormones and like how they're feeling, like they're terrified because they're not going to get their hormones. They're going to have to transition back. And like that really affected me too. Like watching that battle of a transgender, like just thinking about like, I only have 2 weeks left. I only have 2 weeks of hormones left.
Right. I don't know what to do.
That was heartbreaking.
It's such a one necessary and two, just really like that is the way that when you modernize a concept, that's the way you do it. You need to bring it up to where we are now. And so I thought that was really, that is something the comic series does not approach. So just because of the time it was written in, right? Like, and that we've evolved since then. So I do like that. So I want to give props to that. Also, like you said, there is a moment towards the end of, and I will say that first episode again, when, you know, it, you get the concept of, okay, I've been spending time with these people because they need to matter to me when they all die.
Oh my like, gosh.
There is that, right? So, but like the problem was, there was only one family I cared about, which was, you know, the one that I know if like Kofi were here, he would say, well, obviously it's going to be the one with the child, right? Because that's where I am right now in my life. So when she goes into the bedroom, I was like, oh my God, no. Like I was just dreading that it hit home. Yes. But if you look at all the other, it's not really about that, like, it's only because of the child. It's just because, like, none of the other characters really resonated mm-hmm. with me. I don't care that they, like, there's not an attachment there. I was more attached to the dogs and the, yeah. and the horse.
The animals.
And,
like, no, right. Yeah.
So yeah. That's more of, you know, yes, I'm empathetic towards animals, too, obviously. But that's also like, okay, well, those characters weren't well-written
yeah.
then.
Yeah, because they don't act like they like each other, even, you know, like yeah. The whole central premise, like or the second episode, Diane Lane's president's like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't look for you. And he's like, oh, well, you know, he should be, instead of being like, oh, well, you thought I was dead, he should also be like, I'm sorry I didn't come look for you. Like,
yeah. Thank you.
Yes. And
then yeah.
There was also no like a hero looking for her brother or checking to see what happened yeah. there yep. or him looking for her, you know, mm-hmm. even though they're siblings. And it's, yeah, I get there's like tension between them that we get introduced to, but it's like, come on, like an apocalypse, you need to hold all this. Same thing with right. Kale said, like, are you holding on to all this little stuff in the midst of like the world just ended, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, I agree. The main character is just not, it's very hard to root for
he
them.
Was in the first episode, I thought he was going to like step up, but by the end of the third, he's still going, hey, I need to find my fiance and then I'll do your, I'm like, no.
And to your point, they're not even together. Like she told you she wanted other people. She wanted to leave. Yeah. And that is one thing I will also give credit to the book is that he's way more likable in the book.
Okay.
You end up
it's just
not necessarily for anything out of the ordinary that the character in the book do, but just this version is just not, you know, very it's hard to empathize. It's hard to like get behind this character.
I mean, not just, everybody can be Rick Grimes.
True. And Rick was, this is very true. That's all right. Fair. So let's
wait. So what's our bottom line on this one? My bottom line is you should definitely check it out. I think it's going to be, I think it will get better. And I didn't hate it at all. I thought it was interesting.
Nick?
There are a lot of other things that could use your attention before this. I will say that just to add
That's
on
a really
to
Janelle, nice way to say it.
Yeah. Just to add on to Janelle, like, yeah, you should see it, but see some other stuff first.
You know what? I'm gonna go a little more positive in Nick's camp. I'm gonna say there's just plenty of other stuff, things we will talk about later, that I would rather watch. And I will never forget that pilot. So slow. Yeah. So let's get into because I want to be positive. Jeez, I feel like we're like super negative the last couple of days. Okay, so I want to be positive. Let's talk about Titans.
Yes,
because I love this show. I know I stumped for this show. I'm an unabashed fan, but good Lord, how do you watch this episode and not like just come away jazzed? Like the stuff between Dick and Barbara is aces. The Blackfire Connor stuff, like I you can see where they were going with it in the previous episode, but I don't know. I really enjoyed this back and forth. We see more of the Jason Todd's kind of conflicts, like, but okay, true MVP of this episode is Tim Drake. Tim Drake absolutely rules. He had not really had a chance to like really, he shined in the very few spots he's been in, but he hasn't really had a lot of time on screen. Here we finally nix that. And there's this whole scene with him and Dick. And that scene, just like, if you're not a Drake fan after that, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I adored this episode. I'm so amped for the next one. There's I was positive. There's my spiel.
That's great.
That's my spiel. Janelle, what do you think?
Yeah, great. Another awesome episode. Just they're killing it. Titans is so good. It's really tough to binge it which is what I did because it's so depressing and dark. But when I now that I'm finally getting to watch it the way it was supposed to be watched, like weekly, it feels so good. It is so refreshing. It is just the right amount of dark, but also like there are certain like tiny moments of lightheartedness and almost humor at times. And I just love, they did such a good job with these actors casting these roles. I just feel like they are all spot on. It's really good.
Nick, did you check out Titans? I don't know if you did or not.
No, I'm more of a Doom Patrol guy.
Doom Patrol's coming, man.
Yeah, are I'm you so super excited? I can't wait. Season two had to end early because of all the complications, you know. But I'm excited. I can't wait. I mean, Titans is cool, but Doom Patrol is where I'm at.
I will not hate on that whatsoever. Yeah. That's good. And yeah, I really enjoy. I mean, look, they made a humorous sequence out of Starfire almost burning people to a crisp. Like it's so good. I love the show. All right, so let's get into What If, which is the, I know in the like the initial trailers of What If, we saw Killmonger and everyone was like, oh, when's that going to happen? And lo and behold, we're here. So we have the Killmonger episode that we've been waiting for in What If, and essentially shakes up things and says, hey, what if he saved Tony Stark back in that initial Iron Man? And so then Tony doesn't become Iron Man and it sets off this whole trail of events, right? Janelle, what'd you think?
I tweeted about this. It was a little lackluster for me personally, coming off of like just an awesome episode after awesome episode that are like really shook it up for me. It was just kind of like, oh, it felt, you know what it felt like? It felt like watching WandaVision and then having to watch Falcon Winter Soldier. And I was just kind of like, okay, like I like these characters and it's cool, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, it wasn't like watching Loki. Like it was, right. It was just kind of like, okay, it's there. It's cool. Just not, but again, whenever it's land bound, when it's not magical, when it's not mysticism, when it's not space, I kind of go, I like glaze over. So that could be my fault. So I'm really curious to hear what you guys think about all that.
Nick, what'd you think?
I wouldn't be doing my anime boy job if I did not reference the fact that Michael B. Jordan's character Killmonger, like it was Michael B. Jordan, right? I always skip through the credits.
I don't actually know. I'm not 100%.
Actually, I just thought it was. Was. If it's not, like, wow.
Yeah, kudos, right? Like, if it's not, kudos.
Yeah.
I'm glad the anime fan got
Jim to make says, the yes, it was. Okay,
okay. Thank God. Thank you, Jim. I'm glad that the anime fan who also produces and stars in an anime, Genlock season 2 coming to HBO Max, check that out. I'm glad that he got to make the anime reference in the MCU.
Yeah, that was great.
I believe this is one of the first few outside of like Shang-Chi. But other than that, I agree. What if's been kind of spotty. It's been like one weaker one, one good one, one weaker one, one really good one, and this was the weaker one. So I'm hoping next one's good.
Yeah, I concur. I feel like I was watching it and I was just like, oh, this is just kind of forgettable. It's fine. It's not bad. Yeah. It's not bad. And there's fun moments in it. I mean, you know, like I actually laughed at that reference. That was great. You know, the Pepper stuff I really dug, like the Pepper Killmonger kind of back and forth stuff. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting. And like how it ends is cool.
Is it a cliffhanger? Like, are we getting another episode or is it just like,
well, see, this is what confuses me about the show. I was told that like by episode 3 or 4, was it Jim who told me this? It might have been Jim. I was told by like episode 3 that like it's this thing starts to congeal into like, oh hey, we have a vision for like what's happening as What If as a series. This has not happened. This has been I'm not putting words in your mouth. I swear you told me that, Jim. So I was promised like episode 3 will like change how I look at the series. It's not, and there's no, yes, I know we're like supposedly building to like Guardians of the Multiverse type thing, but like, man, this just seems kind of aimless And if that's what we're building towards, like, yes, if that's the case, then we're going to get an episode that builds up a different person. And then maybe the second to last or last episode, we finally get them all coming together. Right. Yeah. That seems to be.
I'm okay if they're each individual stories, but you got to tie the bow on the end. You got to Doctor Strange episode it. Like, you got to like kill everybody or like destroy the universe, or you got to like just start over or give me a happy ending. Like, there was no like ending to this episode.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So that puts the perfect point, because here we get that Shuri Pepper thing and that's cool. But like, you know, and then one of the other ones, right? We get Nick Fury kind of talking to Captain Marvel. Like, we get some of these things, but then they just feel like they're sitting out there.
Yeah.
Because you never get any reference to them in the next episode. And then if they're going to call back by the end, some of these are forgettable.
Forget. You might forget. Yeah.
It's just not, this series is not clicking in the way that I want. And I feel like it's because what Janelle said, they're not leaning into one or the other. They're doing this kind of right in the middle thing. And I more wanted just really interesting one-off stories. Good Lord, not everything has to build into a damn continuity and timeline. Not everything has to be connected.
I like the individual stories. And I will say, Matt, like, I feel that I am definitely more into this show than you. Like, I'm a big fan. It was just this episode specifically just didn't really get me excited the way that some, like, I literally had tears in my eyes watching the Doctor Strange episode, or like I was mouth open, like during the Avengers episode, like I was like, during Zombies, I was like, what? Everybody's dying. Like, it's just, I had moments of like, oh my God, watching other episodes. I did not have any moment in this last one where I was like, oh wow. Like, there's none of those, but I do love the series. I really, really like the series a lot. Like, I am going to rewatch the whole thing.
Yeah. Personally. I wish
had more fun. Like, I wish it was just like, if it was going to be these 30-minute one-offs, or, you know, either extend them to the hour and do like two-parter what ifs, you know, so we can see the end result, or be fun. Like, if you're gonna murder all the Avengers in one episode, have more fun with it. You know, like the Zombies one, it was more about the jokes than the actual zombies. It's just like, it's so stuck. Like, for something that's supposed to be the multiverse and telling us so much about like what else could be happening, there's not a lot of what if going on here. It's so
Oh my God, that needs to be a quote. That needs to be a quote. That is. Oh my God, that's right on the nail on the head. Just, yes, it doesn't feel, it feels like they don't want to go too far away from the MCU-ness. And so they don't take enough risks, which is I'm not even some of the characters, because like Ravager Thanos is great. There are things I can point to throughout this whole series that are awesome and love those ideas, but they don't go with the storytelling, they don't go far enough. Or they don't just go, well, this is all like, here's our big plot points and we need to kind of move this. If it's all connected, it's just kind of in the middle. And I am about 50-50 on the show. I don't love it. I don't hate it. And about every other episode for me is great. And it's like, oh, that's an awesome episode. And then it's like, oh. So
I would recommend watching all of What If over the Last Man show.
You know what? There you go. There are more things to watch. It all comes back to that.
Or drop them both and make sure you watch Titans.
There. Thank you. Yes. Freaking yes. That is my rec. Like, put down Y, let it simmer, go watch Titans. We're almost at the finale.
I was so excited about seeing Thanos in our comics.
Oh, yes. You know what? That's a perfect segue, Janelle. Let's get into comics real quick, because I want to make sure. Now, of course, we talked about Harley Quinn, and you can always check out our full review and everything on comicbook.com. But we're going to dip into the other two books, since we've already given that some time. We're going to talk Eternals Thanos Rises, number one. That was not a deep voice that I was going for. That was not boomy. It was not boomy in any way. It was
better than I could do.
All right. So, you know, it's fitting that Jim is in the comments and we're going to talk about Eternals. If you were curious, this story is a really good encapsulation of how Thanos came to be and some of the kind of core building blocks of Eternals. I'm very curious, before I go on off on stuff, what did you guys think of this issue?
Nick, you can go ahead.
I like Thanos, so more Thanos is good. Just an offhanded question. You would know more about this than I do, Matt. Like, does this mean we're getting like Thanos stuff in the MCU? How does, like, are we getting more of that in like possibly Eternals, or I don't know. That's my takeaway. It's just, I'm like, what does this mean?
You know, it's funny. You can't have, like, now because the comics are so future MCU centric, right? It's like every new comic story is feels like it's created in a way that you could cherry pick elements right for the MCU. Like, I read books like this now and go, oh, well, this is clearly a structure for for bringing this into the movies, right? That's a good question. I would typically would say yes if we hadn't just, you know, killed him. like if we hadn't just like whisked him out of existence. But then again, this very much the core concept of the Eternals, right, is their namesake, is how they come back. And not even that they come back, because that's kind of the most boring part. It's the how and all the kind of political intrigue amongst the group in deciding like who to exile. What do you want to do this lifetime? That stuff's, to me anyway, the more interesting stuff. And that's what this issue actually delves into a lot, which I really enjoyed. I don't know. I would say, typically, I would say the foundations of it, maybe. But him, Thanos himself, I don't know. Maybe that's the case. You know, maybe do they reveal he's this is in fact canon at some point, and they do something like this where he can return. But do you want Thanos to return right now in the MCU, or do we still need a while to kind of put him on ice because we've had so much of him?
I do. I want.
I do. That was such a great thing. Janelle, what do you think of the issue?
It's a lot to take in. I'm literally almost finally done with reading most of the early Eternals comics, and kind of like the first introduction of them. And yeah, it is. It's a lot. It takes me a long time to get through them. I love the concept of the Eternals. It's just a lot of information to take in, and it's a lot of explaining in the dialogue, which can be super intimidating. But I'm so glad for the payoff at the end of the book. Like, I'm so glad I got the Thanos, because I'm like, wait, what? What does this have to do with Thanos? There's a lot of explaining. There's a lot of, like, you know, trying to understand who likes who and who doesn't and why they don't and where they went. And there's just a lot of that. And it kind of made my brain hurt a little bit. But I just, as soon as like the whole Thanos thing and all of that was introduced, I went, okay, I'm just going to kind of like sweep all that other stuff under the rug and just kind of like live in this moment of like, okay, this is basically like Thanos's mom and dad. And this is really interesting. So I think that Eternals will always be that way. I think that's just kind of how it is. Cause even in the very first, like really early comics, it's the same vibe. Like, I'm like, oh God, what am I reading? I don't know what's going on. But I'm enjoying the process because it's up my alley. Like, it's something that I dig. So I actually like it.
I agree with all of those. I think that's a perfect way to sum it up, is that Eternals is a lot.
Yeah.
That's the tagline. It Eternals is a lot. Like that.
Now
that needs to be on the front of the book.
I get why so many comic readers were like, wait a minute, what? They decided to make an Eternals movie? Like, what? Now I understand why so many of you were like, I don't get it. Like, I can't believe they're going to do this, but I'm so glad that they are. And I really hope they make it clean and nice and easy to understand their origins.
Okay. So that right there to me is like what I'm hoping for in the movie. Because the MCU has a really good reputation of doing that. They're very good at streamlining origin stories.
Yeah.
And boiling them down to their base prospects. Whether you like it better than the one in the comics or whatever is inconsequential. It's the fact that a whole new audience is being exposed to these characters that isn't, you know, necessarily looking for like as in some cases, convoluted, I will say, but also complicated. Like, you need to get it across in a way that someone can easily understand. To me, this book does not do that.
No.
At all. This book is very much a comic book, and it embraces kind of the exposition heavy elements of this. I mean, there's a part where there's a one page. It's just a chart of telling you where everyone stands on old issues. And I went, okay, I understand Hickman does it. And I don't even like it.
X-Men. Right. I see you.
I don't even like it when Hickman does it. Okay. Cause like, I don't like the info dumps. I'm like, just find a way to tell me that in story and don't do that. But I didn't even read that. I'm not even going to lie. I skipped over that one. I tried.
I gave up halfway through.
Not doing it. So it's weird because this issue is so slow at the beginning. It's a slog to me anyway. Yeah, it was a slog getting through the first half of this issue. And then, yes, you start to see the payoffs creep in, start to see some of the things happen, and that's great. And by the end, it felt like, okay, my time was well invested. It doesn't mean that the issue was flawless and that the issue couldn't have been trimmed and streamlined a bit to really get to, you know, some of the things. It's like some of that stuff really doesn't have anything to do with like the overall premise. So I ended up liking it, but I was in Janelle's corner. Like, I wasn't a fan at the beginning. I was like, oh my God. And then it got me. Speaking of X-Men, you're just all about the segues today.
Let's go.
Trial of Magneto, number two. Of course, this is we pick up where the last issue kind of left us, like, what happened to Wanda? She's pseudo still alive. We don't know if she's still alive. She's in another place. We don't know that. And of course, Magneto is accused, and all of the things are shaping out to kind of pin this on him. This issue leans further into that, and he's like doing the very Law and Order esque, like, it was me. I confess. I don't know. I don't understand this concept. I know why they're doing it. They're doing it to kind of reset her and come out of this with like a clean, this is who Wanda is. Let's get rid of some of the baggage that she's had for a long time. That kind of thing. I understand where we're going with it. I don't love the execution because this still feels very Avengers versus X-Men. The characters are not acting as they have acted in all of the other books, Magneto included. Magneto is so much better than this. So this is such a regression to that character. If you've been keeping up with House and Powers and all the things that have come after, this is not that Magneto. So it just feels so, it steps back. And then, like, I did like the Avengers get to come to Krakoa and interact with the X-Men. And I will always love Emma Frost interactions with anybody, because they even talk about the whole Captain America thing. And she's like, he calls her ma'am. And she's like, ugh. Like, she, like, that whole thing is the callback to the gala, right? So there's a lot of fun stuff there. And I like where we get to at the end. Because, again, it feels like a step towards that whole putting her on a plane and a fresh start. But it's just, this just feels so forced. And unless they just come out of it at the other side and are able to justify it, which 9 times out of 10, when a character is acting like they're not supposed to be acting, that does not happen. Like, you always kind of look at it and go, no, that didn't explain it. I'm not sold. That's how I feel about this issue. What'd you think?
Nick?
Oh, I'm not keeping up with X-Men. Apologies.
Oh, you're fine. No worries. Listen, I wouldn't either if Matt wasn't like, we're reading X-Men this week.
This was the vote. I'm not taking blame for this. This was voted.
Matt, I liked this book. I liked it. I felt like I knew what was going on because we have been staying on top of this, you know, from the gala and everything like that. And I actually enjoyed it. Again, I do not have those bounds, those things holding me back of like, this is not how Magneto acts. Like, I'm just kind of, I'm like, okay,
why you got to impersonate me like that? Why you got to make me sound like that, you know?
You have a deep voice. I'm just kidding. That's your Thanos voice.
That's hurtful. That's very hurtful.
But I really enjoyed it. I loved the art. I'm a big fan of Wanda. I was really excited to see the Avengers. it had moments. It was easy to understand. There wasn't too much dialogue. It was an easy read for me, and I enjoyed it. I actually loved all the comics this week. So for me, this was like a win week. And I'm down. Like, and I don't know obviously how these things normally play out, but to me, it seems like Magneto is hiding something because he is protecting Wanda in some way or something like that. That's what I thought. Like he's trying to protect her, and he's not really a villain. He cares about her and he's looking out for her. I don't know. That's what my mind was going to, but maybe I'm wrong.
Janelle just checked me. That's what a check looks like. Janelle just totally checked me. She's good. And it needs to happen every now and then. Anissa does it all the time. It
doesn't happen very often. Let's be real. It's not. We're talking good. Comics.
It's good. It needs to happen sometimes.
I'm here for this.
So a quick mention for comics. There is a new trade, a collection of the Joker Harley Quinn Criminal Sanity. If you have not read that, it is by Kami Garcia. We will have an interview with her talking all about the book and kind of diving into spoilers, of course. But if you are looking for just a badass Harley Quinn who is like kind of she's the one who's investigating Joker. She's actually like a cop and a former cop, and is now helping the police and things like that. And she's tracking down the Joker in this, and it's really well done, and it dives into a lot of like makes a lot of really good points on like serial killers and like the difference between like psychosis and how that is kind of just the go-to term for things when it's more layered than that. There's a lot of really interesting things at play here, so definitely check that out. That is out in stores now. We will get Briwood. I have not read Rorschach number 12 yet. I need to do that. That is on my list to finish that. I have not, but I will definitely, I will go do that. And the next episode I will give, my thoughts. So definitely I was enjoying the like first half of that, and then it got a little weird, but I'm hoping that it rebounds. Okay. So real quick, because I know we're running out of time. Let's talk. I know Nick, me and Nick typically are in our comic book chat during NXT on Tuesday nights, just like being big old geeks and just like going back and forth as things happen. For those who don't know, NXT relaunched as NXT 2.0 on Tuesday, and it was like a new presentation, and it was kind of this new focus on like new stars and all that. And then we got, of course, a new champion and a bunch of stuff happened. But the biggest event of the night was the wedding. And yes, the Index wedding that we had seen like bachelor parties and bachelorette parties and all this stuff over the last few weeks. And it's been delightful. So what did you think overall of NXT 2.0? And what did you think of the wedding?
No, I mean, it was great. 2.0, it was very overwhelming at first. It's a lot of new faces, a lot of new things thrown at me at one time, and I'm old. I need time to adjust to new things. I need a slow burn. You can't be like, oh, we're colorful and new and young and expect me to keep up without like breaking my hip. So that's my only thing. It was good. Lots of good new faces. I'm all in for Bron Breakker, all in for Hit Row versus Legato, all in for whoever the other new guy was, new faces, new things. The wedding was great. It was perfect. It was everything I wanted it to be, Matt. Like, just, I love, I was like half expecting someone to ruin it, which was weird. You know, no one ruined it, but I guess that's what also made it great for me, is that no one ruined it.
Right. It's rare to get a wrestling wedding that isn't a run-in or it just ends up being this thing. It was actually a fun, there were so many fun moments. I will say I came away pretty happy with NXT 2.0. Mm-hmm. Look, we've all seen the reports of like, oh, Vince is taking over. And even though a lot of those have been debunked, and it's more that Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon are taking over kind of the visual side and like the big picture stuff, changing up the arena, the colors, the theme, like all that stuff is very much feels like it could be on Raw or SmackDown, but I liked it. I'm cool with color, and I like the Wale theme, and like I dig that, right? And the core show is still being run by Shawn Michaels in Triple H instead, because he's recovering, and hope he recovers soon. but I'm okay with it. Look, it needed some fresh blood anyway. The fact that, like, you know, half the people left and went to AW or they were released or whatever was not the way I would have wanted that change to happen. But the fact that we're getting a bunch of screen time for people that have been on the brand and need that time and looked promising, I'm good with that. And I just Ciampa won. Yeah. Ciampa is the champion. I am happy. Goldie is back.
That's what it, I mean. That's what I was going to add, because, like, at the end of the day, it's there's so many new things, but there's a veteran who has the belt again, who has the title. So it's like you pin it on one of your hardest, oldest names working there to, like, to keep it going and to kind of guide this new generation through. And I think that's what's most exciting about it, right, Matt? That there's, like, at the end of the day, there's still Ciampa being, like, the top champion to, like, help all these, like, those are going to be some great matches, right? If anything, right? Like,
the fact that they went with him, one, because look, if he does leave the company, which he probably will in a couple of years, whatever, or maybe even next year, whatever, right? You see that happening at some point in time, sooner than later, right? So especially this new direction holds up, we're going to have people that at the top of the card that are going to be in that new style. So this is perfect. This is a great way to kind of have him run with it for a bit. We get that payoff, and then he does whatever he does and they move whoever they're going to. I mean, there's a bunch of people already on the card. I'm a big Carmelo Hayes fan. So, you know, I would love to see him get some matches, but Ciampa's going to match up great with us. I mean, look, he had a match of the year contender with Walter. All right. He's a great wrestler. So, and as far as, like, I'm seeing the comments. Look, I report on this stuff every day. I cover this stuff every day. There's a lot of stuff that, I mean, look, if you go back and look at some rumors, they're not always correct. And you go back and look at others and they are. And sometimes it's just a mishmash. And sometimes there's a lot of stuff out there to sort through. Some of that stuff is true as far as Vince and Bruce taking a bigger chunk of NXT and running with it. But again, the day-to-day stuff, if you watch 2.0, you saw that. You actually saw, and we'll see if it holds up over the next couple of weeks and moving forward, but you saw the same kind of tie to matches and the way NXT tells stories. It's the same. It's just with younger, newer talent. And that's what Vince and Bruce wanted. And the presentation, that's the
important stuff, right? Yes. Yeah. The important stuff at the core hasn't changed. It's just the presentation, right?
So, yeah. Like, so if you look at it and it's just like, oh, they're taking over, it's dead or whatever. To me, that's just ridiculous. That's just, that's not reality. It's not what you're seeing now, but you are seeing their footprints all over those bigger picture things. And that will continue. So yes, I don't see Ciampa being the champion for 2 years. I don't see Pete Dunne being in that at some point. I feel like they'll have that moment for him, but I don't think that'll be lasting. They're going to continue this wave. We're going to see more of that. And that's what they want ultimately. So, you know, it's a mix of both, right? But overall, I will say no other thing does the Index Wedding like NXT. That doesn't happen if that's not on NXT.
Good job, NXT.
Real quick, because I did say we were going to get into Power Rangers. We have to address now, these are international spoilers. So this episode has not aired here in the U.S. So be forewarned. However, it was all over social and it was kind of hard to miss. So I feel like we're not, like, crazy spoiling something. That Izzy was revealed in one of the new episodes to be the first LGBTQ+ Ranger in the show's history. They've had it in the movies. They've had it in the comics. This has happened with characters. But some people, like Nick, acknowledge things that happen in the show as canon. So for
this
is the first time.
I mean, just like I say, that canon doesn't count. I didn't say it on CBN. So I thank you for Matt for throwing me under the bus already.
Right there. That was a Power Rangers podcast throwback there. You're welcome.
Yes, yes. But it's great. It's about time. It's one of those things. It's like, it's great. Good news. Congratulations. About time.
Like, it's Tesla Rouse. It's awesome. It's the Green Ranger. It's so cool. It's about damn time. And I'm glad. So, yes. Yeah. before we go, that was a lot. We packed a lot into this. Janella, do you have anything you want to shout out, mention before we go?
I'm just watching Lucifer. I think it's the final season, but I'm loving it. I'm so excited. And Stargirl. So good.
Oh, you're watching Stargirl?
Yeah. I'm committed. I'm doing this. I binged the first season, so I'd be ready.
I need to catch up with Lucifer.
Lucifer's great. It's great.
I love that show. God, I love that show.
Nick, did you have anything you want to shout out?
Yes. Fall season's coming in like 2 weeks for the anime world. There's going to be new seasons of Demon Slayer, new seasons of movies for My Hero Academia, Jujutsu Kaisen, Sword Art Online are hitting Japan. There's a lot of new stuff coming our way, so please check out comicbook.com/anime for all the updates. And like, oh, and Dragon Ball Super, the new movie, is getting a panel at New York Comic Con, so look out for our coverage from that. That might be cool. And your fingers crossed that we get nothing but good stuff coming our way.
Yay, yay. Look at that. Representing for the anime nation there. Awesome. Well, I have talked enough, so there are no more shout outs from me. I've talked enough. So we are going to head out. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Kofi will be back next week, and order will be restored. So hope I did okay sitting
you
in
here.
You
did great.
Yeah, it was great.
Fantastic job.
I love you guys. So of course you can check out Comic Book Nation on Twitch live right here at 11 a.m. CST every Friday. You can also check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Alexa. If you say Comic Book Nation into it, it will come up like magic. Of course, we will be doing at some point. I feel like we say it every time. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to say the review thing. I don't know when the shirt's coming.
If you just like to do it out of the goodness of your heart, you can always leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
There it really helps us out.
It does. It helps us out.
Look at Janelle killing it. But I'm not promising anything because I promised like toboggans and I said hats at one point and like no one's backing me
up. Keychains, mugs.
Yeah, I promised everything. So yeah, that's not happening. But without further ado, thank you guys so much for joining us and peace out. Catch you later.
Bye, guys.